Good morning. Today's daf in Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel. We are on the very bottom of Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, picking up where we left off yesterday. We are in the Gemara's discussing Eitzas, various advice given by Tanaim, and later this morning we're going to do Amoraim that were given to their sons, to their Talmidim. So we are along those lines. We took one step backwards yesterday in terms of discussing a little bit about the Mazikin. Mazikin was a big topic of discussion now already for a number of days. Since Kuf Tes Amud Beis, the Gemara has been discussing Mazikin and Kishuf. For Kuf Yud Aleph, and a portion of Kuf Yud Beis, we talked a little bit about Kishuf and Mazikin. So yesterday we just went back to it just a little bit, noting that Tuesday night and Friday night are nights in which the Mazikin are out there. So yesterday we just read up on a story with Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and one of the heads of the Mazikin. And because of the dialogue, because of the exchange, so Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa only gave allowance for the Mazikin to go out on Tuesday night and Friday night. He wanted them to go out no nights, but they came to a pshara and they would go out only on Tuesday nights and Friday nights. With that, along Vesuchada, we are now three lines from the very bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara is going to give us one more exchange, one more story that takes place between them. Vesuchada Zimna, there was an occasion in Pagabay, Abaye. So she met Abaye. She over here is referring to this head mazik. Her name, by the way, you can see up above. Her name is Igeres Bas Machlas. So she meets up with Abaye. So Amrlei, she says to him, Ilav de Mechazi Alach Berakia Yizar Ben Achmeni Vesar So. So once again, she reports to Abaye what she reported to Chanina Ben Dosa. And that is, they told me, take extraordinary care with Abaye. Don't touch Abaye. Abaye over here is referred to as Nachmeni. Why was he called Nachmeni? So there are a number of opinions, but you could see the Rashbam right here in our Amud. It's the last Rashbam in the Amud. Abaye, and Nachmeni is Abaye. Ulefi Shegilo, Rabba Bar Nachmeni, Kari Kain. So he was raised by Rabba Bar Nachmeni. We know that Rabba was both the foster home and the Rebbe of Abaye. And Rabba's name was Rabba Bar Nachmeni. So he named his son, not biological, but he named his son Nachmeni after his father. So warning was given. Don't mess with Abaye. So have a sakantich. So, but she says to him, had I not been warned up in Shemaim, I certainly would have injured you. Amar lei. So his response back to the mazik is, yichashiyun berakia goes on elaycha shalot ta'avori biyushuv la'olam. So good. So if I really have that much clout, so I'm telling you, I don't want you people, meaning the mazikin, to have any kind of passage throughout the entire settled community. So haka chazina da avra. So the Gemara says, okay, but meanwhile, we do see that she's passing. Amar hani gaziyaseninu deshamti susi vase dabriluhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, they're passing by, but in a much reduced form. They go through, the Rashbam over here says that they go through kashochim b'mevoos, shvile kramim v'susem b'shamtim v'vorchim b'yishuv. That they go through alleyways and pathways, but when it comes to the settlement, so their horses don't even go there. Okay, so anyway, more, just a little bit more regarding kishuv, but that's it. That concludes our discussion regarding discussion of Mazikin. We're continuing in the Gemara. We're in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and now we're going to go back to the Eitzas. Eitzas began yesterday. If you remember, halfway down in Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, so the Gemara turned its attention to various Eitzas that were given by a number of Tanaim. Yesterday we started with the Eitzas that were given by Rabbi Akiva. And so we went through a number of Eitzas that Rabbi Akiva gave to his son Rabbi Yeshua, to his Talmud the Rashbi, and we went through a couple of other Tanaim as well. So now we're going to continue our discussion of Eitzas, various life advice given. Over here now we are going to move to Rav. Amale Rav le Rav Asi. We're going to have Rav now in four parts. That's the way I broke it up. We're going to have Rav giving Eitzas to a number of his Talmidim and sons. Okay, two Talmidim and two of them being his sons. Okay, so this is now part one. So Amrle Rav li Ravasi. So Rav says the following to Ravasi. And so this is the various pieces of advice that he gives to his son. Number one, Losida Masa de Losadif Be Susia Velo Navach Be Kalva. Don't live in a city if you don't have horses or dogs in the city. Basically, some sort of protection, right? Horses are there to enforce, right? Law enforcement, protection of the city from outside attackers. And dogs, same basic idea. So if you're living in a city without this kind of security, it's not going to be a secure city. It's not going to be a safe city. So that's number one. Number two, Al Tidor Be'ir Derish Masa Askia. Don't live in a city where the head of the city is going to be a doctor. Okay, so doctors are great at medicine. The Gemara over here says, this is Rav's advice to his Talmud. They're not great in terms of leadership. Now, why should that be? You'd think that they'd be very good for leadership. They're very smart people. So the way the Rashbam explains it, the Rashbam, Dereisha Asya, it's the first line of the Rashbam. Rashbam is found in the bottom of the Amud. So Dereisha Asya, so he writes, because we're talking about not a doctor, we're talking about a practicing doctor. The practicing doctor is going to be very involved with his patients, and he just simply won't give the proper amount of time towards the needs of the city. We saw an idea like this yesterday as it related to Talmid HaChachamim, meaning one of the pieces of advice given in yesterday's Gemara is that if you have a Talmid HaChacham, don't let him be the leader of a city. Again, the idea is that he's going to be so preoccupied in his learning, he's just not going to take care of communal needs. So that's the Gemara's assumption over here, that when you're dealing with a practicing doctor, so he just simply won't have the time necessary to devote to communal needs. Continuing in the Gemara, this is now the third piece of advice given by Rav to Rav Asi. Velo tamsiv tarte, don't marry two wives. In other words, obviously there was a time, right, since the Torah was given even beforehand, where polygamy was allowed. And an observation which I made before, but I'm not the originator of this, and I don't know where to source this, but an observation that we made before is that every time you see a man married to more than one wife in the Torah, anywhere in Tanakh, so it doesn't work out well, and there's always contention, and it's understandable. But anyway, strict letter of the law, so you can marry more than one wife. So the advice that Rav gives is don't marry two wives. And inasif tatarti inasif tlas. Now, the issue is not polygamy, because immediately follows up with, look, if you're married to two, so here's the best advice, and that is take on a third wife. So two wives is no good, but three wives is fine. It's funny, had there not been a Rashbam over here, I would have suggested the issue is zugos, but that's not the issue. The way the Rashbam understands it is that when you have two wives, so they're going to collude against you. Okay, so they'll scheme and they'll plan against you. However, three wives won't collude against you. In other words, one of them will become an informer. Okay. Admittedly, by the way, it doesn't seem like the best way to arrange any kind of solid marriage where you're looking to bring an informer into the collection of wives that you have. But okay, fine. Anyway, let's continue in the Gemara. That was the advice given by Rav to Rav Asi, one of his Talmidim. Now we're going to go over another Talmud of Rav. Amalei Rav LeRav Kahana. So this I'll call now section number two, but there are four together. So this was the advice given by Rav to Rav Kahana. Afoch b'nei v'lasov v'lo tepoch b'mili. So what you should do is that you should be involved in nevelas, meaning the to make sure to give assurances that the animal's not nevela. So turn it over and basically look carefully. Right, that seemingly is the pshat over here. Could be talking about the carcass of the animal as well, but v'lo tepoch b'mili, but don't engage in much discussion or much chatter. In other words, keep your words to a minimum. That's number one. Number two, pashat nevela sabeshuka v'shakal agra. What you should do is you should sell the hides of an nevela in the market, and you should collect some sort of income from that. Meaning, obviously, with the nevela, you can't sell it as as food, and the buster is trafe, but what you can do with a nevela is that you can sell the hides. And another piece of advice, velo tema, and don't say the following. Now this is Rav talking to Rav Kahana. And velo tema, and here's what you should not say. So this is personal advice for Rav Kahana. Obviously there are takeaway points for us, but you should not say velo tema kahana ana vigavaraba ana visanya be milse. Don't ever say that, look, I'm Kahana, meaning that's his name. And it could be also talking about his station in life, whether he's a Kohen. Whether he's a Kohen or not is subject to debate. You can see the Taptosis over here making reference to a Gemara that we saw earlier as to whether or not a Rav Kahana was actually a Kohen. Okay, many Kohens in this world are not Kohanim, but whether Rav Kahana was or was not subject to debate. But the point over here is, look, don't say I'm Kahana, I'm Gavirab, I'm a great man, and it's beneath me. Don't ever say something's beneath you. And number four, Salakta Legra Sheruzach Ba'adech Me'akari Be'masa Be'zuzah Tusik Enafech Ni'avo. And a fourth piece of advice, simple and just wonderful advice, and that is always carry around a snack, right? When you go up to the rooftop, so there should be some sort of snack in your hand, even if food is really cheap. Mea kari b'masa, bezuzah. With one zuz, you can get 100 gourds. Okay, in other words, food happens to be very cheap. But nevertheless, you should have something under your coat. You should always have a snack in hand. Okay. The Amalei Rav Lechia Berei, Rav says the following to his son Chia. Okay, so one of Rav's sons we know is Chia, probably named after his uncle Rebbe Chia, meaning Rebbe Chia, the Masada Braisos was an uncle to Rav, was a Rebbe to Rav. Rav learned primarily by Rav Yehuda Nasi, but he also spent time with his uncle Rebbe Chia. So I'd venture a guess that his son was named after his uncle. So Amalei Rav Lechia Berei. Don't drink medicine. This first one's really interesting. Actually, what makes it interesting is the Rashbam's explanation of it. Lo tishte sama, I'm going to read the Rashbam inside. Noteworthy Rashbam. It's five lines down from the top. He writes, lo tishte sama, al tishte samim. So don't take medication. Mipnei shenik v'lehem vest. Because what you're going to do is you're going to get really accustomed to it really quickly. You're always going to want it. And you're going to have to spend a lot of money on it. In other words, it's habit forming. And we're not talking about drugs over here. It goes without saying that's something that people should stay away from it, right? You could put it under the category of Isser as it's harmful and damaging to your body. But we're talking about therapeutic drugs. Even that you should stay away from. So lo tishtei im efshel refuah acheres. But of course, provided that there's another therapeutic that you could use. So in other words, if the drug has some sort of substitute in which you could do, and you can gain therapies through some other means, you should do so without drugs, because drugs are habit forming and it's really going to it's going to put a dent in your wallet. That's the Rashbam's understanding of this first piece of advice given by Rebbe Chia to given by Rav to Rebbe Chia. Number two, there's a whole bunch of them. Lo tishavre nigra. Don't take large steps. The Rashbam gives two explanations over here. The first of which is don't take large steps because taking large steps, we know, diminish your eyesight. There's another explanation of the Rashbam, and that is that don't jump over rivers as a shortcut. Probably the Rashbam doesn't say it, but probably because your leap may not always be successful. But okay, the number three, we're back to the Gemara. Lo se akar kacha, don't get teeth pulled out. Okay, obviously there comes a point in time where your teeth need to get pulled out, but don't do so. Eventually, if you have a toothache, again, I'm not providing the best medical advice. I'm just explaining what Rav is telling his son, Rebbe Chia. And that is that if you have a toothache, if you have some sort of ailment, the ailment's going to heal itself. And if you pull out a tooth, that's just something that you can't put back in again. Okay. They didn't have the technology back then to replace teeth. But anyway, next, lo takanta. Don't start up with snakes. I think pretty much self-evident. Don't start up with non-Jews. Okay, pretty self-evident as well. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara over here, just spends another moment on this, quoting a Braiso, Gimel ein miskanen behem. There are three things that you should not agitate. Ve'elohein nachri katan, a young non-Jew, nachrish katan, a young snake, and tamid katan, and a young student. My time. So the Gemara says now, why specifically over here all these young entities, the malchusai achare adunaihu kai, because right now they're young, but that's of course going to change. In other words, the prognosis over here, you don't need a doctor for. I can give you the prognosis. They're going to grow up, and they do have a memory. And if you were abusive to them, verbally abusive, whatever, so they are going to remember, and they're going to get you back when they're older, and they're able to stand for themselves. Okay, that's all under the category of advice given by Rav to Rebbe Chia. Now we're up to another son of Rav, and that's Aibu. Amalei Rav la Aibu, Berei. So I'm not mistaken, I believe the father of Rav was Aibu, right? We saw that in the beginning of the Masechta, back on Daf Dalet. Okay, that's my big bekias for this morning. But anyway, so if I'm guessing correctly, that meant Rav named one of his sons after his father. So Amalei Rav Lechia Berei. Amalei Rav LeAibu Berei. So he says the following to Aibu, and that is Tarchuv Bach Bishmaita V'lo Mistayim Ilsa. Now he tried teaching him Torah, and to a certain degree, it wasn't successful. Okay, that in of itself obviously is really interesting, but that's life, and not everyone is meant to be learning full time. And so one of Rav's sons just simply did not have the kind of atzlach in learning. So Ta Agmer Yechmili Dalma. So Rav says to his son Aibu, okay, fine. So I'm going to teach you now worldly matters, advice and life in general. And I see that you're going to go into the workforce, and so therefore you need worldly advice. I'll tell you what, it is a little bit interesting, because truth be told is that the advice that Rav gave to his other son was a little bit more in the category of worldly advice and not advice regarding Torah. So the introduction in of itself is really interesting, but at the same time, however, it's not like Rav gave his other son Torah advice, or seemingly that's the case. Anyway, so I'm going to give you some worldly advice. And over here, a number of pieces of advice that we're getting over here from Rav to his other son, Aibu. The moment you land in your destination, so what you should do is you should make sales. Meaning that you're in some sort of business venture and you're selling. So you get to the place in which you're going to sell. So don't unpack your bags and don't settle into the hotel, but rather start making sales right away. That's number one. Number two, call me Lizavin Vitechare Bar Mechama de Zavin Velosechare. So obviously you want to time things so that when you sell something, you're going to maximize your profit. So that's true. And having regret, that's perfectly fine. You can have regret on any sale that you make. But regret is totally understandable. But when you're selling wine, so don't have any regrets whatsoever. You sell the wines the first opportunity you can. You may not be making full profit, but that doesn't matter. Because wine is such a perishable and it can sour and can turn to vinegar. So any sale you make is going to be a wonderful sale, and don't ever regret the sale of wine. That was number two. Number three, Shari Kisech Pasach Sakech. A third piece of advice is first accept the money, and then give the goods. In other words, in an exchange of money to goods, so first take your money. Because if you give the goods first without accepting the money, so you don't know. You really don't know what's going to happen. You may never see that money. Number four, Kaba Me'arva Lo Kura Me'igra. If you're going to get a small amount, a kav is obviously a measure, but if you're going to go get a small amount, but it's going to be from somewhere local, as opposed to receiving a kura is a lot more, but you're receiving a me'igra literally from the second floor, but it just means from a distance. Meaning, is it better to profit from something nearby? Is it better to profit from something far away? The Gemara says this a number of occasions in a number of different ways, but investing in something that's local is much better than investing in something that's far away. Okay, that was number four. Number five, Tamra Chaluzach Lebeis Sudna Rahit. You have dates in the basket, so go right away to the brewery. In other words, you're going to have them turn the dates into beer and sell the beer, so... don't wait until you have a large collection of a lot of dates. As long as there are some dates in the basket, so run to the brewery right away. Viad kama, and again, we can add that the dates are very perishable, and you start waiting until you get all the dates you want, and the dates are probably going to spoil. So anyway, so with a small amount of dates, you go to the brewery. The Gemara over here follows up. Viad kama, how many dates are we talking about? Amar Rava Atalsa Sa. You have three saw of dates. That's enough to go to the brewery and have it being produced into beer. Amra Papa Ilo de Rami Shikra Lo Iatre. Okay, here we have it. Rav Papa, a number of times we describe him as being the brewer. So here Rav Papa self reports. He says, look, that's how I made my money. I made beer, I sold beer, and I became wealthy. Okay, so he's advising in terms of it's a really good business. Amr Igada Amri Amr Rav Chista. In another version, it's not Rav Papa, but it's Rav Chista. It could be both. So Amr Rav Chista Ilo de Rami Shechra Lo I Atre. Had it been that I not made beer, I wouldn't have been wealthy. So my Sudna. Now, the beer maker is referred to as the Sudna. And the Gemara wants to know, why exactly is he called the Sudna? Amr Rav Chista Sod Na'am. It's a great little secret. I mean, a secret that we all know now, but it's a great little secret. U Gemilus Chasadim. And on top of that, you're going to make all that money, and you could do a lot of chesed with that money. Amr Rav Papa Kol Agav Gavya Bai. Rav Papa now gives a little bit of advice, not clear who he's talking to, but he's giving a little bit of advice out there, and that is anytime you have a note, an IOU, so you know what it needs, it needs collection. And Rav Papa says, just keep that in mind, right? You have money out there, people owe you the money, and you even have a note, that's great, it needs collection. And Kol Ashrai Safik Ase Safik Lo Asai. You sell on credit, so it's the same basic idea. You may get the money, you may not get the money. And even if you get the money may be a poor currency. And so, either giving credit or selling on credit. It's just, Rav Papa says, it's not the best. Obviously necessary at times, but it's just simply not the best. Okay, moving on. So we now did Rav's Eitzahs in four parts. Rav's Eitzahs to his Talmud Rav Asi, to his Talmud Rav Kahana, to his son, Rabbi Chia, and to his son Rabbi Aibu. And now we are continuing in the Gemara. We're halfway down in Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. More Eitzos. Gimel Dvarim Amar Rav Yochanan Mishaman Anshei Yerushalayim. Rav Yochanan said the following, in the name of Anshei Yerushalayim. Kishata Yotzei LaMilchama Al Teitzei B'Rishona La Teitzei B'Achrona. Okay, now this is practical advice, but as far as running an army, it's not going to be helpful. And that is, don't go on the front line. In other words, if you're going out to battle, so don't go on the front line, but stay back. Why? Because if there's in the event that you have to retreat, so you're going to be at the front of retreating, and the chances of survival are going to be great. So again, totally understandable that as far as running the army is concerned, you can't give that advice to everybody, but individually you can give that advice. Number two, make your Shabbos a weekday, meaning live totally within your means, and even for Shabbos, don't take any kind of handouts out. Now this is the Rav Yochanan, we already heard this B'Shem Rabbi Akiva. Why didn't Rav Yochanan say this B'Shem Rabbi Akiva? I happen not to know, but we heard this in yesterday's daf in the name of Rabbi Akiva. Number three, Ave Mishadol im Misha Hashem Mesecheches Lo. We also saw this in yesterday's daf as well. The idea that you should partner together with people who are successful, because if they're successful, they have a certain amount of mazel, and you want to connect to that mazel, so you want to partner with them. Next, Shlosha Dvar Mamar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi Misha Manche Yerushalayim. Now, this is advice given to us by Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi in the name of Anche Yerushalayim, and that is number one, Al Tarbe, Begagos Misha Maisa Shayu. Now, either it's Begagos or Beginos. But either way, the idea is the same, and that is you spend a lot of time in a public place, and you're in the public, so that means that people are going to be watching you, and that's just not a good place to be. And the Gemara says, and let me remind you, Maaser Shehayah, and the Rashbam over here points out that we're making reference to David and Bathsheba. Bathsheba bathed on a rooftop, that's the Gag, and the rest of the story we all know. And so therefore, don't put yourself out there in the public eye. Number two, Bitcha Bagra, Shechur Avdecha V'Teinla, when your daughter becomes of age, where she's ready to get married, and she's not married yet. So what you should do is that you should free your Eved Kanani, meaning turn him into a full-fledged Jew, and then have your daughter marry your Eved Kanani. Right? A number of things over here. Number one, it could very well be that your Eved Kanani it could be that your daughter, let's start here. It could be that your daughter now is, I understand Bogeris is, you know, where basically she's 12 and a half years of age, and I know that's really young, but back in the day, the women were married by that point in time. And already she's a Bulgarian and she's not married, so you want to find her somebody. Okay, and number two is that if she were living in your house with the Eved Kanani there, so it's probably not going to end well. So by freeing your Eved Kanani and having your Eved Kanani marry her, so that'll resolve that problem as well. Number two, v'avizavir b'ishtecha mechasna rishona. Make sure that you watch your wife, especially from your first son-in-law. Okay, it's reality, real life, and that obviously there's going to be taiva, and it's your son-in-law is young, and you're not as young, and okay, and you gotta watch out for that. My timer of Chizda Amar Mishomerva and Rav Kana Amar Mishomamun. Actually, the Gemara gives two explanations over here. The first is what we just said. There's an issue of erva, and number two is also mamun, meaning that your son-in-law is going to see that you have amassed a certain amount of money, and your wife is in, let's say she's in control of the money, whatever the case is, and he's going to take advantage and he's going to take some of the money. And the Gemara then concludes, Avaha Yistinu. They're both right. We're not over here presenting two sides of it. In other words, it's both true, both reasons why you have to give a certain extra protection to your wife once your first daughter marries and you have your son-in-law. And presumably, by the way, it's not just your first son-in-law, but obviously with your first son-in-law, so that's going to be the one that presents an immediate problem. I'm Rav Yochanan Shlosha Minochle Ha'olam Haba, Elohein. Rav Yochanan says that there are three people who are going to get a chelik in Olam Haba, and they are Hadar Be'eretz Yisrael. Now, obviously, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chelik B'Olam Haba, and over here, obviously, what we're describing is people that are assured a certain chelik. And so number one, a person living in Eretz Yisrael, that by itself, living in Eretz Yisrael, provides a person with chelik in Olam Haba. Number two, a magadol banav l'talmud Torah, somebody who sends their kids to yeshiva. And number three, a mavdol al hayayin b'motzei shabbosos. And you make havdalah on wine on Motzei Shabbos. Now the third one over here, that's really special with a certain chelik in Olam Haba. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Mishayim mikidusha l'avdalta. In other words, this person over here has a limited amount of means, and what he's going to do is that he's not going to drink all of his wine on Friday night. Because he knows he has to leave over for Abdullah. And so when you see a person with that kind of level of planning, so that person is going to be assured a certain chelik in Olam Haba. Okay, and yes, there's kiddush to be said on Shabbos day, and actually Tosfos makes note of that. But anyway, but the idea is that he's a planner. Amar Rav Yochanan Shlosha Machris Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'chol Yom. Three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets very excited about. Right, he makes a big fuss of these people. Number one, Al Rava Kadar B'Karach Ve'Enu Chote. A young man living in a town, and he's not a chote. He doesn't sin. He doesn't get involved in lascivious behavior. That's really impressive. Right, the young man has got a tremendous yetzer hara, and by virtue of the fact that he's not with he's not running around with women, that's very impressive. And number two, al ani mechazer aveda lebaalah, a poor person returning a lost item. All right, the poor person is going to have more temptation to keep the item. He's poor, and so when he returns it, that's really impressive. Number three, al asher ha'aser perasav b'tzino. So you have a wealthy person; he takes off trumas and mitzvos, which you're supposed to do. But he does it privately. He doesn't make a big fuss about it, right? His name is not announced in any kind of publication. So okay, his name is not up there on the building. So that's really impressive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a big fuss about it. Rav Safra, Ravak Hadar B'Krachava. Rav Safra was a young single man, and he was in the city. And Tanitana Kama DeRava. We are now in the Amud Beis, and the person taught the Braisa in front of Rava. Somebody's taught the Braisa in front of Rava. Thank you. Rav Safra, Savupan of Rav Safra was so excited because we just learned that who does the Kadosh Baruch Hu make a big fuss over? Over a young man who's living in the city and is not a chote. And when Rav Safra hears this, oh, he pats himself on the back and he says, that's me. So Savupan of the Rav Safra, Amrul Rava, so Rav pours a little bit cold water right in Rav Safra, not literally, but Lav could go mar. No, Rava says to Rav Safra, no, the Bryce is not talking about you. Ela Kagon Rav Chanin of Rav Oshia. We're talking about people who are really tempted. Right? Just because you live in a city doesn't mean that automatically you're going to be tempted. It happens to be that your conditions are very tempting. Like for Rav says to Rav Safra, I'll give you an example. So Rav Chanin Rav Oshia, the Havu Shpaichu Bar de Israel. So they were shoemakers in Eretz Yisrael, the Havu Yasser Bishuk of the Zonos. Now, where did they set up shop? In the marketplace of Zonos. Now, I understand that we don't have enough context over here. Why are they setting up shop in the marketplace of the Zonos, right? Couldn't there be other places where they could set up shop? I'm sure if we were given a little more context, we would understand this a lot better. But anyway, the point, the Gemara is going to make a very simple point. V'avdiluhu misani lezonos, and they're making shoes for the Zonos. V'ayluhu inu mistaklebuhu v'inu lo madli einaihu. So the Zonos are, right, the word should be not inhu, but inhi. It's talking about the Zonos. So in he mistakli behu, they, the Zonos, are looking at them. V'ino lo madli enayu, but they don't lift up their eyes to look at the Zonos. Meaning that they remain focused on the work, and that's impressive. Umimsayu hachi b'chayehim, Rabin Kadisha de Ba'ar di Saul. And as far as the reputation that they have the reputation of being holy rabbis living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, and Rava says to Rav Safra, that's impressive. You just living in a city, that in of itself is not impressive. And so Rava says to Rav Safra, you gotta really calm down. You gotta measure yourself against what is considered real greatness in this particular area. We are continuing. Two dots, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Bei, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu O'Avan. Okay? Just a wonderful collection of, I'm not even sure what this is. These are brises, these are memras. We're not even given an introduction of Tanu Rabbanan. So, not really sure where this is coming from, but obviously it's part of the Mesorah. That we could say clearly. So, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu O'Avan, three HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves. Misha'enu Kawis, Misha'enu Mishtaker, Misha'enu Ma'amid Almido Sav. So somebody who does not get angry, somebody who does not get drunk, somebody who lets things go. So Kadosh Baruch Hu loves those people. Shosha Kadosh Baruch Hu Son An. There are three people that Kadosh Baruch Hu hates, and that is Amadaber Echa Bepeva Echa Belev. Somebody who's duplicitous. Hayodei Eidus Bechaver Ve'enu Me'ed Lo. Somebody who has testimony but is not ready to offer that testimony. And Aro Davar Erva Bechaver Me'ed Bo Yechidi. Somebody who knows something about somebody else, but he's only one individual. So, and this is a person has to be extraordinarily careful because if it's not Eidus, so then you know what it is? It's called Lashon Hara. And so if he goes ahead and reports what he knows about somebody else, but not in the context of Eidus, it's not two witnesses. She's just one person alone. So now you're looking at Lashon Hara. And the Gemara tells a classic story. And we get to hear this expression all the time throughout Shas, but here's the story. So Kihad de Tovia Chata, so Tovia was involved in sin. He was involved in some sort of znus. Va'asa Zigud l'chudei va'asid bay. So Zigud comes along, but by himself to testify about Tovia. Now again, because he's by himself, it's not testimony. So what it is Lashon Hara. So va'asid bay kamedera papa. Nagdi l'zigud. So they take Zigud and they give him Malkus. So Amrale, so Zigud says, and here's the line, and you see this line a number of times throughout Shas. Amrale Tovia Chatov Zigud Mangad. He says, I don't understand. Tovia was the one who sinned. And meanwhile, Zigud is the one getting Malkus. So Amrale in. So, but the answer, Rav Papa says to him is, that's correct. That's exactly correct. The pasuk says that one witness cannot testify because again, it's not testimony. And therefore it's Lashon Hara. And you're testifying by yourself. It's called Lashon Hara. So you're a Motzi Shemra. Now, Motzi Shemra, if it's not true, Lashon Hara, if it is true, but either way, if you're not giving edus, so then, you cannot disseminate this information. It's Mamash Asur. And yes, Malkus is in order. Now, Malkus over here is that Malkus Midaraisa. So, most probably not. Most probably it's Malkus Midarabanan. But either way, in other words, the reporting news about somebody where it's not Edus, so that's called Lashon Hara. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak, I'm a Rav Mutalisnoso. Okay, so the Gemara over here now notes the following. Let's say you do have this information about somebody that you know this person was involved in something, but involved in an act of znus. However, it's just you alone that knows it and nobody else knows it. So you're not allowed to report it. That we've just established. Can you hold it personally against that individual? Can you hate the individual? So the Gemara says, yes, that you're allowed to do. Shenemer kisira chamor son acha rovet tachas masao. So the Gemara here quotes from Parshas Mishpatim. So you see the donkey of your enemy struggling under its load. So my sone. So who's your enemy in the context of the pasuk? So ilay mason sone nachri. The Gemara says now maybe it's a non-Jew. The Gemara says it's not. Vatanya here we know we have a brisa. Sone shamru sone svevelo sone nachri. We have a masorah that's talking about a Jew, not a non-Jew. So it's not a non-Jew. So alapshita sone yisrael. So we're talking about a Jew. Umishari lemisne. Now you're allowed to hate another Jew. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. Vaksiv lo sisna. Esachicha b'vavecha, b'feirish pasuk in the Torah. You're not allowed to hate another Jew. So Allah de'ikasad David isurei. So the Gemara says, okay. So maybe testimony was given about that individual that he was an avarian. The Gemara says, kuleyame nami mesanile. So then that's also not pshat in the pasuk because the pshat in the pasuk is that we're talking about a personal hatred. If we have a person, edus was given about that person that he was an avarian. So then he's a rasha, and everyone has the permission to hate him. So the Gemara says, Maishna hai. Why does the pasuk make it sound like he's your enemy, as if this is something personal? So the Gemara says it's talking about a case where you know about that individual. You and only you alone know about that individual, that he's involved in some sort of arayus, and nobody testified about that individual. So again, so you're in a position where you cannot report because you're only one person who knows that information. On the other hand, you do know the information, so you have permission to hate that individual. Practically speaking, what does that mean? I don't know. I'm not sure. Because we just learned a pshat in the pasuk is that you gotta help him out. Meaning you see his animal, under this burden. So the halacha is that you gotta go help him out. So practically speaking, what does it mean that you're gonna hate that individual? Unclear. But there is an allowance to hate the individual. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar mitzvah lasono. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak goes one step further. Not only are you allowed to hate him, it's not just a heter, but mitzvah. Right. In other words, to ensure that you have the proper value system, so you actually are supposed to hate such an individual. Shenemar Yiras Hashem Sinas Ra. So to have proper Yiras Hashem, so Sinas Ra, you're supposed to hate something which is bad, and so it's not just an allowance, but it's mitzvah. This just personally, I understand this a lot better. Meaning, basically, it's to calibrate what your value system should be. So when you know, and only you know, you alone know that somebody's involved in a particular act, and now you're required to hate him, yeah, so that's gonna make sure that your value system is right on the money. Amar Rav Acha Berei de Rav Le Rav Ashi Ma'ol Lameimra Le Le Rabbei Le Mishnaya. So question, says the Gemara, are you allowed to tell his Rebbe? Meaning, so you have this information, it's just you alone that has this information. So reporting it to the public or reporting it in Beis Din is absolutely strictly forbidden. Because again, if it's just you alone, it's not Eidus. Can you tell his Rebbe? with the hope that maybe his Rebbe is going to correct him. So the Gemara gives a very practical answer, and that is the Rebbe going to accept your testimony or not going to accept your testimony? Again, it's not testimony. You're only one individual. If your Rebbe is, if not your Rebbe, but his Rebbe, if you know that his Rebbe is going to believe you, you know you have the kind of relationship with his Rebbe that he's going to believe you, then fine. So then telling his Rebbe may be helpful because his Rebbe may have a talk with him. Otherwise, lo lemale, but otherwise, of course, don't then if the Rebbe is gonna doubt, he's gonna question, so don't share it with the Rebbe. Next, Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following brayso: Shosha Chayim Einam Chayim. Three people, their lives are not lives, and that is Harachman and Harachsan and Ve'anine Hadas. People who are overly compassionate, people who get angry very easily, and people who are really really delicate, and every little thing is gonna bother them. Amr Rav Yosef Kulu Isnu Bi. The Gemara says almost comedically that Rav Yosef says, you know what? I'm three for three. I have too much compassion. I get angry too easily, and I'm very delicate, and things bother me really easily. So, okay, obviously you gotta fight against all three. But Rav Yosef over here gives self reporting. He tells us that he's all three. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the following brayso: Shlosha Sonim Zev Zev. So there are three groups of, well, I'll say people, but as you'll see, they're not people. But three groups, it just naturally hate one another. Eloheina, klavim, v'atanagolim, v'achavarim. So, dogs, chickens, and chavarim. Chavarim over here, probably a group of people that are involved in divination, something along those lines. V'yesh omer maf zonos, also, zonos as well. V'yesh omer maf tamid chacham mishab bavel, and some add to the list tamid chacham and bavel. Okay, the Gemara says that the Talmidei Chachamim and Bavel are not pleasant to one another. The Gemara is in Sanhedrin, Chavdalet, I think. Anyways, Chavdalet. So the Talmidei Chachamim and Bavel are just simply they're not pleasant to one another, as opposed to the Talmidei Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael, they are. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brayso: Shlosha Oavim Zed Zed. Three people really like each other. Elohein, Hagerim Va'avadim Va'orvin. So, when it comes to converts, when it comes to Avadim, when it comes to Orvin, they like each other. And as far as the first two, the third, so I can't add anything to that, but for the first two, but certainly you understand, we understand. In other words, they're people in a position where they're the underdog, and so they're gonna band together, and they're gonna, it's understandable how they're immediately gonna have an affinity towards one another. So, arba in adasov lasa melohein. Four people are intolerable. All right, fantastic Gemara. Four people are intolerable. Number one, dalgei, somebody who's poor and yet he's arrogant. Such an individual is intolerable, meaning he's poor, so he should have a certain amount of humility and considering his station in life. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, and he's arrogant. It's just an intolerable individual. Number two, asher machesh. When you have somebody who is wealthy. And at the same time, he denies, he lies. Certainly an intolerable person. And number two, Zaki Menaif. If somebody is old and is involved in Neof, that person's intolerable. Meaning when you're young and you're involved in adultery, it is totally unacceptable. But at the same time, it's understandable. He's young. He's got vitality. He's got youth. But when you're old and you behave that manner, such an individual is intolerable. And uparnas misga'e ala tzibor b'chinam. And when you have a leader of the community and he lures over the people that he's running. So again, such an intolerable situation. The Gemara says, I want to offer up as a candidate one more person who's intolerable, and that is the person who marries, divorces, and marries and divorces the same woman. And so that's such an individual is intolerable. Now, the Tanakhama didn't add that person to the list. The Tanakhama, Zimun de Ksuvasam Ruba. So the Tanakhama says, no, look, I can explain that person. That person who divorces and remarries the same woman. So it could very well be that the Ksuva is really a lot of money. And although as much as he can't stand her, but at the same time, he can't afford divorcing her. Inam yesh lavanim himen, or they have children together. V'lo matzi megarish la'ani, he just simply can't divorce her. He can't afford it. Okay. Chamisha dvarim siva kanan es benav. There are five things that Kanan instructed his children. So Kanan, the son of Ham, the son of Noach, who, right, history does not look at favorably. So now here, the Gemara says it's Savah. Its instructions, the Rashbam says, it's just, It just means that this is the kind of behavior that's exemplified by Kanan. And that is, number one, Avu Zedzeh, they loved each other, and Avu Zagezel, and they love stealing. Avu Zazima, and they love the lascivious behavior. Vesanus Adonechem, they hate their masters. Ve'alta Dabru Emerson, and they never speak the truth. Okay. Shishadvarim Nemrim Besus. Six things that were said regarding a horse. And that is, they love the city's behavior, and they love war, they are very arrogant, they hate sleep, they eat a lot, and they excrete very little. And they're not loyal to their riders during war. There are seven people that are excommunicated, and that is Yechidi She'en Lo Isha, Yehudi She'en Lo Isha. We're talking about a Jew who refuses to get married. So the meaning he has the ability, he has the capability, but he refuses. He just doesn't want to get married. V'sheyesh lo isha ve'ein lo banim, or he gets married, but he refuses to have children. V'sheyesh lo banim ve'ein megadol l'tam haTorah. You have children, but you don't raise them to Torah. V'sheyein lo tefillin b'roshah v'tefillin b'zroah. He's not wearing tefillin, not on his arm, not on his head. V'tzitzis b'bigdo. He's refusing to wear tzitzis. Mezuzah b'pitzko. He refuses to put a mezuzah on. V'hamoneh menalim miraglav. He refuses to wear shoes. That was seven, by the way. We got to the number seven, at least I did, by putting together the tefillin. Tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. I assume that's the correct way to number it. Okay. I may even be right. And some add to the list there that you're not, that you don't participate in an assembly of mitzvah. Really interesting Rashbam over here. The Rashbam writes, bechabura mitzvah, kigon mishta shobris mila, obas kohen lekohen. So let's say, I'll give you two examples. Let's say there's a bris milah, and you were invited to come to the bris milah, and you refused. So that is such an individual, so he's menu de l'shamayim. So that's why the minhag is not to invite anyone to a bris milah, because you invite them and they don't come. So it's really offensive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or bas kohen l'kohen, in other words, you have a really significant chasna, and on top of that, you're invited, and you refuse to go. So that's also really offensive. Okay, we're going to stop over here, and let's quickly recap. Let's review the daf today. We finished up with the encounter of the mazik, the mazika, if you will, where she confronted with Rabbi Chanina Mendoza and Abaye, and we saw that confrontation at the end of today's daf, the beginning of this morning's daf. Then we saw a lot of eitzes this morning, a lot of eitzes. So without going through all the eitzes, because that's basically the daf today, but just to organize all the eitzes, so there were the first half of the first Talmud of today's daf were the eitzes that were given out by Rav, to his Talmud Rav Asi, to his Talmud Rav Kahana, to his son Rabbi Chia, and to his son Aibu. The interesting thing, Aibu, who did not go into learning, but went into the workforce, but Rav had eitzes for him as well. Then on the second half of the Amud Aleph, Kuf Yigim Amud Aleph, we went through eitzes of Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua Malevi, back to eitzes of Rav Yochanan. And then on the Amud Beis of today's daf, so a lot of groupings. Three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves, three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. If you give testimony about an individual, but you're just one person, that's not testimony. It's called Lashon Hara. And that is absolutely prohibited. And the Gemara over here told us today the really famous story of Tuvia and Zigud, where Tuvia did the crime. Zigud went ahead and shared that information with the public. And Zigud was one who got Malchus. Why? Because he was a Malshin. He spoke Lashon Hara. Other groupings that we did today, people, their lives are not lives. The people who are overly compassionate, who are overly heated and who are overly sensitive. So those kinds of people are just not going to have a pleasant life. Rav Yosef says, by the way, that's me. I'm all three. Unbelievably. People that hate each other, people that love each other. And then, our last list of the morning are, those things that were, a group of people that are just intolerable. Four different types of people that are intolerable. Five things that are predominantly found by Kanan and all of his descendants. There are seven people that are menu de l'shamayim, excommunicated to heaven. And then at the very end of the list, somebody who was invited to a chabur shel mitzvah doesn't go, so he's also menu de l'shamayim. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here.